Privileged to be able to share God's word with you this morning and begin us off. I'm gonna take a guess. I'm gonna let you help me guess. If you were to walk around camp in the summer and eavesdrop and listen to kids' conversations, what do you think some of the most common words or phrases are that you'd hear?
Like.
Yep. What else? All right.
That was cool.
That was cool. Mm-hmm.
Lock in.
Wow.
Did you see what I just did?
Yep. Imagine there's a lot, right? Pass it here. My turn. Check it out. Come with me. He's cheating. Watch this. Yep, you guys already learned how to count. I'm going to take a stab in the dark, and I'm going to say if we were to use Old English, the most common word at camp would be behold. It's kind of the word, look at this, watch me, check it out, wow, just that exclamation of pay attention, watch. And that's a real human need for each of us. Like, when you enter into a room, don't you have the desire to be noticed? Where someone just sees that you're there and says hi? Because we all have this deep cry within our hearts, do I matter? And it's a deeply human need. And so I think a warm welcome goes a long way in helping meet that need. Camp Kwanos, they've always got their big welcome plan. The buses roll in, and they've got this huge show. Guys running around on their electric skateboards with smoke shows and flags. People come out of the bus. Everyone lines up and makes like this human tunnel for them to walk through, and the kids all run through this tunnel. Remember, I dropped off my nephew a couple years ago. He's got zero contact with church or anything religious, and we bring him to camp. And we go down to the dining hall, and there's registration. And after he kind of filled out the forms and they were introducing him to his cabin, someone shouts out his name, and everybody cheered. And just the look on his face, he was just like they all cheered for my name. It was like the greatest moment of his entire life, where he was like, I've come here all alone, but I'm not going to be alone. And when you're noticed, when you're welcomed, that's powerful. And so that's why kids are always crying out, behold! Except they don't use Old English. They're always like, check it out! Look at this! Watch me! It's not just a childish thing to say. Don't all of us desire that in one way or another? To be like, I need to be noticed. To know that I belong, that I have a place here amongst my people. And camp gives that big welcome in their big welcome strategy. What do you do as a church? I see people coming in and people are shaking hands. They're saying hi, they're welcome here. And of course, a welcome goes beyond a handshake because you can get your hand shaken at the door and then walk into the room and still be all by yourself, even though there's people all around. Do you anticipate guests coming? Get ready to get to know their name, hear their story, welcome them. Allow people to know that love. Now, a welcome is just one step of helping people be seen, to belong. I think it's a good step. And so that word, behold, it's used over 1,200 times in older English versions of the Bible. John the Baptist says, behold, look at this. That's the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. Jesus says, behold, look at me. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, let them open it and we'll come in. We'll enjoy eating together. To behold, it's not just a glance. It takes attention, right? Some other older English words, to tarry, to ponder, to linger. Think of your toddler. Look at me, look at me, and they're about to do something. You're like, Right? No, if they want to put your phone down and you look, and you watch, and watch whatever it is that they're doing. Do I matter? Does anyone see me? Does what I say influence others? That's a beautiful gift that we have to bless one another. That word bless that you have for this year, I love it. How can we do that for one another? And to keep on giving that. Love isn't like a one and done thing, right? Like we said, you don't just shake someone's hand in the door when they come in the door and then, they're welcome, it's all good. No, it's a continuation of caring for others. Now, our love isn't enough to satisfy that need in others, but it can help them point the way to the one who does. Because if we all have a need to be known and to be seen, in a sense, that's elusive. Right? Because I want to be seen. I'm like, look at me, look at me, look at me. And pretty soon, I'm craving attention. I'm calling out for attention. We've all been there at one time or another. We're a little bit desperate, and we're always like, watch me, watch me, watch me. Because it's not satisfied. And as soon as it is satisfied, the measuring posts move a little bit more, and we need more, and we want more. And it's always almost within our grasp, but never quite able to grab onto it. Because you notice me today and tomorrow, I still need it. And as we love one another, and as a church, you express your love to one another, you keep on going. You keep on expressing love. St. Augustine said a couple thousand years ago, our souls are restless till they rest in Him, in God. And our souls are always restless, and God has given us the church to be able to care for each other and build each other up. But ultimately, that need is going to be found in Jesus. Now, what does it take to behold? To actually pay attention, to watch? As a famous book title says, the elimination of hurry. Think of a bride. You're sitting there waiting. She's a little bit late. Bride thing to do, keep your anticipation growing. And if you're in a hurry, you're thinking of those snacks after the wedding, the doors open and the bride appears. Why is she walking so slow? Hurry up, get to the front of the aisle, get married, and we can go have the snack. No, the whole point is to not hurry, to walk slow. To take it in, to just enjoy the moment and the beauty and all that's happening. Or a sunset. Summer, I got to spend a week up in the Rocky Mountains on a climbing trip, and one of the nights, the sky was so brilliant, the oranges and the reds. So, and there's the sun setting over all those jagged peaks. You can't help but just to sit and to watch and to enjoy. To behold, right? Until the very last hues of orange disappear into the darkness of the sky. Some things you can't just rush through. You don't just like sunset, look, go. No, you have to just behold. Beholding costs time and attention. And for us to give that to others, what a beautiful gift. Look how Jesus paid attention to others. He saw them. I remember hearing at one time that most of Jesus' ministry happened during interruptions. Synagogue ruler comes to Jesus. His name's Jairus. He's like, my child's dying. Quick, come. And so quickly they go. They're moving through the streets. There's crowds. There's people all around. And it's so time sensitive. Jesus is in a hurry. And then this lady who'd had this internal bleeding for 12 years, comes and touches the cloak of Jesus. And Jesus stops. He's in his hurry for this emergency of this child that's dying, and Jesus stops where he's at. Who touched me? He gives the lady attention. He looks at her in the eyes. This interruption, he slows right down. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Child of the synagogue ruler, word came that had passed away. But of course, Jesus, time, that's okay. Jesus says, we're not too late. No, already dead. Sorry, we're not late yet, Jesus says. They're just sleeping. They go into the house. Jesus says, my darling, wake up. Raises the child from the dead. Jesus gives attention, cares for people, takes the time. Another day, Jesus is walking down the road, again, a busy crowd, everyone wanting his attention. And then Jesus stops, and he looks up into the tree. Short little guy up there. He looks him in the eye, and he calls him by name, Zacchaeus. Come on down from that tree. In fact, this crowd, wherever I'm going down this road, I'm going to spin around, and let's take a detour, and let's go to your house and have lunch. Meals, you didn't just throw something in the microwave back then. It took time. And there Jesus is, spending time with him. And what was the result? A changed heart. Because Zacchaeus was seen. He was noticed. He recognized that Jesus loved him. And that impacted him. And the leper. The untouchable. Unclean, unclean. This skin disease that no one can go near. 6 foot distancing isn't near enough. Stay far away. What does Jesus do? Touches him. Heals him. And then there's Peter. Peter's always clamoring for attention. Behold, look at me. Check out what I can do. I just walked on water. Well, for a second, anyway. And then there came a moment. Jesus was arrested. Peter, he's one of the boldest. He's one of the bravest, and he follows close by. He's in the courtyard. He's watching the proceedings. And where our whole life we're calling, look at me, check this out, watch this, behold, the servant girl comes up to Peter, and she looks at him. And all of a sudden, Peter's like, don't look at me. She said, weren't you one of his followers? I don't know what you're talking about. He leaves. And again. Then in Luke 22, verse 60, an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't look at me. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And then verse 61 says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Look at me, look at me, watch, check out. And then when we're truly seen, we hide. Shame. What do you do with your hands and your face when there's shame? Right? We cover our face. The very first human emotion in the garden after sin entered the world was shame. Adam and Eve realized they were naked and they hid. And they wanted to cover up. They didn't want to be seen. They had to cover over their nakedness. And Peter here, he did not want to be seen, and yet Jesus, from across the room, at that moment, looked at Peter straight in the eyes. Peter just couldn't. He ran, and he wept bitterly. Kind of like Isaiah's response when he saw the glory of the Lord, he shouted out, woe is me, because I'm a person of unclean lips. And we live in this tension of I want to be seen, I want to be known, I want to know that I matter and that I belong, and yet don't look too close. Because if you knew who I really was, if you saw what I was like deep down inside, you'd probably reject me. You probably wouldn't want me. And So we put on our masks. We hate being vulnerable. We just live mediocre lives, fit in with the crowd, and conform just to stay under the radar so people can see us and tell us we belong, but not really see us and reject us. And so as Jesus looked straight at Peter, what did Jesus do? He carried on with his purpose and his plan to go to the cross. He went to the cross to take on our shame, to take on our sin, to take on our brokenness. Because when Jesus saw the betrayal of Peter, when he sees our disgrace and the rebellion in our hearts, he sees our inadequacies. But through all of that, he sees you. And your worth, because you're made in the image of God. And he loves you despite your inadequacies. He loves you despite your insecurities, your rebellion, your sin. And so Jesus went to the cross to make the great trade, to be a substitute. 1 Corinthians tells us that he who knew no sin became, 2 Corinthians, sorry, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, perfect, sinless, us, broken, rebellious, and sinful, and Jesus says, I'll trade you. You know, kids are always making a trade in the playing field. They're always trying to one-up the other person. I'll give you this cookie if you give me that chocolate bar. Trade toys, whatever they're swapping, they're always trying to get a better deal. Jesus got the wrong end of the deal. But he did it on purpose. He says, I will take all of your brokenness and he'll pay the penalty for our sin on the cross. Why? So that we could be made right. So that we could be made clean. So that we could be pure and spotless in God's eyes. So that he could take away our shame. So that when someone looks us at in the eyes, we don't have to cower in fear, but we can stand tall and secure and say, Jesus has made me clean. I am a dearly beloved child of God. And so when God sees you, which he does, I know we try and hide from God, and yet he sees us. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even when we try and cower away in a corner, trying not to be seen, God, with our theme, he goes all out. And he gives us Jesus. He holds nothing back to cleanse us, to recreate us, to make us worthy. And so we want to be seen, which is kind of elusive because we're never quite seen enough to know that we belong. We want to measure up. And when we don't, we kind of hide in shame. And all the while, God is calling out, behold, look at me. Check it out. Ezekiel 3, God says, check this one out. Or, older English translation, behold, the glory of the Lord is present there. Psalm 54, behold, God is my helper. The Lord upholds my soul. Jeremiah 32, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Revelation 1, behold, he comes with the clouds and every eye shall see him, also those who've pierced him. Isaiah 42, behold my servant in whom my soul delights. Then the angel calls out in the Christmas story, behold, I bring you good news of great joy. And John the Baptist echoes that, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And then the end of Revelation, Jesus is again crying out, look, check it out, watch, behold, I am coming soon. And so we're to stop and pay attention, because God is above all. Slow down and notice. because God is alive and well and working. We're to sit up and look, God is near. We're to ponder the goodness of God. When's the last time that you listened to this call, behold? God is calling out to you, look at me, behold. Often there's so many other voices calling out, behold, it just gets lost in the clutter. We get sidetracked, we get distracted, we take our gaze off of the bride and we start thinking about the snacks afterward, and then we want instant gratification, so we leave and we go and grab McDonald's instead, and we miss the whole moment. God is calling, behold my glory, behold my salvation, behold my presence. And so often we're so preoccupied with other things, we're scared to look him in the eyes because of our shame. And as we're looking at different directions of this behold, outward, we're looking at how can we listen to the call when others are calling out behold, and we can give them the time of day and attention. And then there's the inward, where it's our shame is telling us we're not worthy and we cover our faces. But then God calls us upward to look to him, to see him. And what happens when we do behold his glory? What takes place? We behold so that we can become. We become more and more like the one that we're looking towards. Partly we can recognize what it is we're looking at. I was at Costco a while ago, standing in line, waiting for my slice of pizza. And all of a sudden I feel this tug on my pant leg. And I look down and there's this real little kid just hanging on to my pant. It's not my kid. You've been there, right? Holding on to someone else's shopping cart when you're a kid, whatever it is. And like right there is this kid's mom and she's looking at me and we're kind of both snickering going, yeah. We see this kid has made a mistake, and all of a sudden the kid looks up. The terror in her eyes when she locks eyes with me and says, I don't know you. How long have I been following you and hanging on to you? When we look up, sometimes we're in for a surprise. Who have we been following? Who are we hanging on to? Who are we watching? So many times we look up and we're like, I thought I was hanging on to Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but it turns out I've been grabbing onto the wrong pant leg. And that look of terror, I want that in my life, that repentance to go, oh, wrong priority here. I want to let go of that and hang on to my Father. And yet so many times we're just so busy, we don't stop to look up. And how long are we hanging on to other things? Another thing that beholding does is it deepens your cravings for more. Because you begin to love what you watch, what you're paying attention to, your heart kind of aligns to. I've got a group of interns at Camp Kiwanis. An amazing group, and we went on a trip before Christmas. We went Goldstream Park out of Victoria. There's a nice little waterfall there. And we spent 10 minutes by ourselves just to have silence, just to be able to take in the grandeur of the falls and enjoy all that God has given us. And it was so refreshing just to be silent, to be alone. And how much more true when we taste and see that the Lord is good. When we drink from him and are satisfied, when we surrender our lives to him and recognize that he's enough, when we behold, it helps shape our appetite so that we long for more. Beholding leads to becoming, because the more we see him, the more we're shaped to be like him. 1 Corinthians 13 says, now we see him, but it's kind of dimly, like in this mirror that's all foggy. But one day we'll see him face to face, we'll see him as he is. 1 John 3 says, when he returns, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When we see the glory of Jesus, it transforms us. It transforms Zacchaeus. Kids at camp, when they experience the love of God through his people, it does something in their hearts. And for each of us, as we behold God, then we can become like Him. And so that's the call for us today. Behold. If others are crying out, watch me, check out this. We show them love because as we love them, we're loving them, they can recognize that it's God loving them. We're pointing them to the greater one. And in our own lives, we take our eyes off of our distractions. We release our shame and we behold. We slow down. We enjoy. Just soak in all of who God is and His goodness. And as we behold Him, we become like Him so that we can shine Him to those around us so that they too can behold Him. So I hope to revive that older English word, behold, and see it as a practice in your lives. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you that you are worthy to be beheld and that you're calling out, you're giving us that invitation, behold, look at me. Not because you're desperate for attention, but because you are the most glorious, and as we see you as the most glorious, change us into your image. That we can love you and see you, and we can love others, that they too can behold your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.